The title of this evening's message is, Are You Knocking? And if we look in Revelations 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Have you ever went out, and you went to somebody's house, and maybe it's a friend of yours, somebody you knew or know, and so you're walking up to the house, and you see a couple cars parked in the driveway, and you walk up on the porch, and you can hear noise coming from inside, and you hear some loud music coming from upstairs, and you know the TV's blaring, and their pet dog is barking and everything, and you go up to the front door, and you knock. Nobody answers, and you know from the noise and trying to peek through the curtain and all that, you know there's people in there. You can hear the voices, but nobody answers the door, so you knock again. Still, nobody answers. So maybe by this time you're really getting frustrated, so you knock really loud on the door, hoping you'll get somebody's attention. But you don't. Nobody comes to the door. So you know they're home, and maybe this is a family that you know, and you were supposed to meet there, okay? Maybe you're supposed to meet up with the husband because you're going to go golfing or whatever. But so you know them, you know there's noise, there's people in the house, but nobody answers. You knock on, you know. So finally, maybe you shout. Maybe you holler, hey, is somebody in there? Come on, I know you're there. But still, nobody answers the door. Just think how God must feel when we, his children, are too busy to answer his knock on our hearts. How must he hurt when he's trying to get our attention and we refuse to answer? Every week, God knocks on our hearts. Many of us answer that knock, but there's just as many that don't answer that knock. They ignore it. If you're a child of God, which we all are, want to share something with you, bring it to your attention. God does not say, I am to be second in your life, or second in your list of things to do. No, he says that he is to be first. Amen. Before yourself, before your family, your job, your hobby, your TV shows, before anything else, God is to be first in our lives. And there's nothing that's more important than God in our lives. When we don't place God first, we cannot or will not hear him knocking. At the Milan Cathedral, there were three inscriptions over the respective doorways. The first doorway on the right, there's this motto, all that pleases is but for a moment. Then if you look at the doorway on the left, there's a saying that says, all that troubles is but for a moment. But then if you look at the doorway in the center, it says this one simple sentence, nothing is important save that which is eternal. How true that statement is, yet so many are more concerned with that which pleases, or the troubles that come along in our life. They're not concerned about the eternal. Going back quite a few years, but some of you might remember Tom Landry. He used to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys way back when they were a prominent team in the NFL. Lately, not so much. But anyway, somebody asked him one time how he'd been so successful. His response back in 1958 was, "I did something everyone who has been successful must do. I determined my priorities for my life would be God, family, and then football." Oh, more that Christians would determine this. God does hear our knocks. If we look at Luke 11, 9 through 10, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." How does God respond to our knock? Even after hearing all of our many excuses, whining for not hearing him, God still answers when we knock at his door. God's not asleep. He's not in bed. He's not lying there watching TV or jamming on the radio, nor too busy to answer when we call. Even though we often fail him, God still wants to answer our prayers and will. We do not have to storm the gates of heaven or knock down the doors of heaven to get his attention. It's his desire. In Isaiah 65, verse 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God wants to have that close personal relationship with all of us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to be our best friend. There are those who say that God does not answer prayers and that he no longer performs miracles. To them, I say, maybe you're not getting his message. Sometimes God's answer is no. And I know I can look back over my life and I know more than once in my life, you know, I'm thinking, hey, God's not hearing me. You know, I've been praying for this situation and praying hard. But God's not, well, God is answering. It just so happens that his answer was no. Amen. Because as we all know, God does things and works in his own timing. Not ours. And so, God, if he says no, more than likely it's because that's the right answer at that time for the situation at hand. So, yeah, God does answer. Sometimes we're just don't want to hear no for the answer. God always hears our prayers and he always answers our prayers. Sometimes his answer is no because it's not because he wants to punish us or play games, but because it's the right answer for us at that time. Over my many years, I've learned some of the best answers God ever gave me to my prayers has been no. Because if it had been something different, I probably would have messed things up a lot worse than they already were. But God's answer was no. Why is that? Because at that time in my life and that situation, that was the right answer. And I was fortunate that I had occasions where God said, hey, no. And anyway, God knows what is best for us. If we look at Luke 11, verse 10 says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." God does not lie. What we pray for, God will answer. It just may not be the answer we want to hear. Share a short illustration. Newborn babies, whether he or she, they frequently cry a lot in the night. Okay? Anytime he or she has needs, and what happens? The mother comes running. Starting out, she comes running each and every time because the baby's in the room, in the crib, crying. So mom comes to tend to the baby. Thus, children learn to cry when they want their mother's response. Later, mom comes, but maybe she doesn't pick the baby up. Maybe she just says something quiet and soft and, you know, hush, child, go back to sleep. Later, she may not even come every time the baby cries. And, of course, the baby doesn't like this at all. But the feelings of abandonment lessen as he or she learns that mother will always come in the morning. So eventually the baby learns that even though she may not come as time progresses, every time they cry, they always know they can count on the mother to come in the morning. So it's with our prayers when we are young believers, God often answers our prayers quickly. As we mature, he uses unanswered prayers as a way to teach us to rely on him. He who knows our real needs, who is always faithful. We just have to rely on him. There was a gentleman one time, and he'd been out hiking, and he was lost deep in the woods. And so he began to panic. But he prayed for God to get him out of that situation. Later he described how frightened he was and how he prayed for deliverance. Later someone asked him, "Did God answer your prayer?" And his answer was, "Oh no," was the response. "Before God had a chance, a guide came along and showed me the path." Was that prayer really unanswered? Or did God do what he promised, answering before he was called? What have you asked God for? How did God answer your prayer? Do you believe that God answered your prayer? Luke verse 10 teaches us that he that seeketh findeth. Maybe the reason we haven't seen God's answer to our prayers is because we haven't been looking for it. Or maybe we have seen God's answer and didn't recognize it as God's answer because it's not what we wanted to hear. It was no. It wasn't the answer we wanted or the answer we expected. But God did answer. Amen. And again, he answered in his time the way that he felt it needed to be answered. God says that if we seek, we will find. To seek means to look. That means we have to stop giving lip service to God and start serving him. When we pray, we must be ready to accept God's answer, whether it's yes or no. I want you to know to be a seeker means you also have to be a server. Because a seeker has their eyes upon that which they are seeking. And you can't have your eyes on God and not serve him. Okay? It just doesn't work. If you got your eyes on God and you're seeking him, then you're also going to be serving him. Another short illustration. There was a minister, Dr. Criswell, and he was the pastor of the largest Southern Baptist church at the time. And it was located in Chicago, Illinois. Okay? And he just happened, he was being entertained by one of his deacons at their home. And this deacon's name, and you might recognize it, but you will hear shortly. James L. Craft. He was the superintendent of the Sunday school and the founder of Kraft Foods. Okay? Kraft said that as a young man, he had a desire to be the most famous manufacturer and salesperson of cheese in the world. He's just a little young kid. But anyway, he wanted to be the most famous manufacturer of cheese and sell it in the world. He planned on becoming rich and famous by making and selling his cheese. He began as a young man, and he had a small little buggy, and it was pulled by his pony that he had. Pony's name was Patty. And Patty would drive him through the streets of Chicago to sell the cheese. But as the many months passed, the young Kraft began to despair because he wasn't making any money. In spite of all his hard work and his efforts, he wasn't making any money. So one day, he's driving down the street, and he pulls his horse to a stop. And he starts talking to his horse, Patty. He said, "Patty, I'm afraid we have things turned around and our priorities are not right. I'm afraid we have to serve God and place Him first in our life." Kraft then drove home and he made a covenant that day to himself that for the rest of his life he would serve God first and then work as God directed. Well, many years later, this same minister, Dr. Criswell, overheard James Kraft say, "I would rather be a layman in the North Shore Baptist Church than to head the greatest corporation in America. My first job is serving Jesus." Is our first job serving Jesus? Are we knocking? I can assure you that if you knock on God's door, He'll answer before the sound of the first knock can be heard. The words ask, receive, and knock are action words suggesting both perseverance and frequent prayer. Do we pray frequently? Who and what do we pray about? Do you pray for others? Who are we concerned about? Does our job, family, meetings, hobbies keep us from knocking on God's door? Everything we need for spiritual success has been promised to us. God leaves us no excuse for failure. So in wrapping up, today God's knocking on your door. He is calling you. Maybe He's saying, "Come to Me, those who are weary. I have everything you need." Maybe He is saying you need to talk to Him more. Or you need to place Him first in your life. Maybe He's saying you need to rededicate your life to Him, and that is to be your first priority in life. Maybe He's saying you need to have a church home, and this is where He wants you. Whatever it is He's saying to you today, please don't delay. Open your door to Him, and you will find that His door is always open for those who seek Him. So let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank You for the message this evening. Thank You for our time together to spend in Your Word. Continue to bless, watch over this church for us. Lead, guide, and direct us that everything we say and do always be for Your honor and glory. These things I humbly pray in Your precious name. Yes. Amen.